98FM. Now that's what I call sport podcast.
Now, the Ireland team arrived back in Dublin Airport during the week, and we were there to meet them. The views of the Ireland coach, Joe Schmidt, the outgoing Ireland coach, Joe Schmidt, who began by speaking to journalists about his Ireland memories over the time he's been in charge, 6.5 years, of course, as well. And, of course, that defeat to the All Blacks.
I mean, even the disappointment that I've had, some of the high points are just probably some of the messages I've received in the last 48 hours just from ex-players or people who've said that, you know, that there was a real impact during that 6.5 years, some of them who went through that. Because I know that the trophies are the visible things, the wins are the visible things, but you wanna try to help people get better, not just players improve. And I think that I worked as hard as I could to do that. So it doesn't always work out in the 2 40-minute periods, those two incredibly brutal but incredibly enjoyable 40-minute periods where we've had those trophies fall our way, and the end as we did is really disappointing. Obviously, Twickenham in the Grand Slam is special. Just that first half in Twickenham, that was as good as we got, probably, along with Chicago in 2016. We played a team that had won 6 out of 6 in the Rugby Championship, amassed 35 tries, conceded 5 across those 6 games against the best the Southern Hemisphere had, and we got 5 all by our lonesome in a super game, which was an expression of what we were capable of doing. And there's been some special days with the crowd. I would say one of my best memories is France at the last World Cup. The Irish crowd that were in the Millennium Stadium that day were absolutely phenomenal. And I know the next week didn't go well for us with the carnage that happened in that game, but it was an incredibly proud moment to watch the players acknowledge the crowd and the support that we had. You know, it's only just last November, not even a year ago, that we had the reverse result against New Zealand, not with the same margin, but I felt we really deserved to win that day, and the crowd was phenomenal. I'll take away some really special memories, but they're a little bit hard to dig out at the moment because they're clouded by the disappointment of, Saturday evening.
Now, the last time Ireland exited the World Cup in 2015, of course, Joe Schmidt was staying in charge and he had a Six Nations to prepare for and, you know, something to focus his mind to take it away from the disappointment of the World Cup. And now he doesn't have that.
Yeah, because it's what you finished on, and so it is more difficult, and because that's, I've finished as a rugby coach, and it's hard to step away with that as your last involvement. But at the same time, I can only work as hard as I can work, and I've worked with incredibly good people, the staff and the playing staff. So I do think, as well as that, I know these players, and I'm going to really enjoy watching them continue to progress. And I think Andy and the team, that's still going to be doing a super job. So I'm really looking forward to the Six Nations. I might, instead of looking through the glass, I might just have one in my hand, and I'm looking forward to that.
So what's next for Joe?
Yeah, I'm sure my wife is thinking, what else is he going to do as well? I know that I'm not going to do it in the near future, and I've been blown away by some of the approaches and incredibly humbled by them. But I made a commitment that I'm going to absolutely stick to through to at least June, July of next year, and then as a family, we'll sort of step back and decide what people want to do and how we'll go about things, because it hasn't been a job. It's been a way of life. It's been 7 days a week, and I think I can honestly say in 6.5 years I've not taken one full day off. There's not one day where I don't think I've either been scribbling notes or watching footage or getting to a game or doing some coaching or going into a club and doing something, and I've loved it.
Now, it's always nice to hear from the players, and we just have a short clip of Peter O'Mahony speaking to Shane Hannan at the airport during the week.
You know, we could be here for a while with this answer. Look, I think for me, he's changed the prospect and the outlook on rugby for young generations, which is probably the biggest thing you could say about any person's career. You know, there's kids in Ireland now who will be expecting to be successful, expecting to win trophies regularly, and there'll be a big, huge portion of that will be down to Joe's work and his contribution there at rugby. So, you know, not only has he changed, you know, the direction of my career and this team's career, but he's changed probably the careers of the guys who are in primary school and secondary school at the moment. So he's done incredible work.
Now, former Lions, Leinster and Ireland man Shane Byrne is on the line. Shane, good morning. How are you?
How are we doing?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, no.
So, Shane, you're watching the second semi-final at the moment, Wales against South Africa, coming up to half-time. How's it going? What's the score?
Yeah, it's 6-3 to South Africa, and it's just a kicking fest. That's it, basically. Nobody seems to want possession. Everyone's just kicking the ball back to the other guys. So, yeah, nothing too exciting at the moment. Definitely not like the semi-final yesterday, which was an absolute cracker from the start.
Yeah, England 19, All Blacks 7. And Shane, before we talk about the match, the England V to match the Haka was, like, amazing. And we spoke last week about Ireland facing the Haka and what different teams have done. And at times over the years, some teams have actually stepped forward and walked towards the All Blacks. But I noticed, like, the referees seem to be telling England to line up straight. And they were like, absolutely not. We're going to call these out. And some amazing scenes, really.
Yeah, the supposed etiquette about it is that you don't cross into their half. I think that's what the refs are trying to do. There's a couple of players into the half at the end of the V. But listen, any true New Zealander or Maori or anything like that, it's a challenge. And you can react to whatever way you want. Like, you know, you hear silly people going, oh, isn't it terrible, you should respect. That's absolute bull. Like, particularly with Ireland and singing the fields of Attenroy, that's fantastic. Like, they love that because it's a challenge for, you know, we all know it's their war cry, they're what they go into battle doing. And if you accept the challenge, you know, rather than just standing there, they like you to react to it, to do something to it. And it's just the powers that be, the guys sitting up at their desks thinking, oh, isn't it terrible? That's not terrible. It was fantastic what England did. Absolutely brilliant, accepting the challenge in the way that they wanted and reacting to it the way that they wanted. It was great to see.
And Shane, the match itself, England winners into the final, of course, as well. And, you know, we saw how good New Zealand were against Ireland the previous week, even though Ireland were quite poor. But for England, like, just a brilliant, brilliant performance on a massive stage for them.
It is absolutely fantastic. And you know what? The scoreline flatters New Zealand. England had another few. We know there are 2 tries disallowed, but there are other opportunities that they had as well. They were absolutely fantastic. It's amazing to think, I've said it before, that New Zealand, been such a fantastic side as they have been, they don't really have a plan B. If plan A doesn't work, they don't have really anything else to go to, because their plan A is usually so fantastic. But if you stop them on the line, if you stop those offloads, and if you make very, very few mistakes, which are the things that they rely on, they don't really have something else to go to. They really do get stuck. And that's what happens. England just came out. They started fantastically, and they just kept the pressure on them, and they didn't know what to do. And they did look hesitant in patches in that game. And you've got to hand it to England; it was an absolute masterclass in how to play against New Zealand.
Yeah, and they'll play against either Wales or South Africa in the final next weekend, Shane. And we don't know who's going to win that just yet because it's still ongoing at the moment. But given what England did yesterday, would you make them favourites heading into the final, no matter who they face now?
Yeah, I would. I think that was fantastic. Now, the biggest issue and the biggest question left to answer was that psychologically England's final? That's going to be the big task for Eddie Jones now, is to see, can he get them to the heights that he did? To play like that was absolutely superb, but it takes its toll mentally and physically. And to see, can he raise it again for the next game? You'd like to think that they could, that they definitely, you know, have enough of the tanks because they were in such control. But that's going to be the only question left to ask from an England point of view. If they come out and they play like that against England or South Africa, I genuinely think they would win.
And Shane, we heard from Joe Schmidt there earlier on in the show, and, you know, speaking at Dublin Airport and speaking for the last time really as the Ireland coach, and we're a week on from what happened against the All Blacks. We're also looking back on, you know, his 6.5 years and all that. I know we spoke briefly about it last week, but haven't had time to reflect, and he's had time to reflect there as well. He'll be very, very proud of the job he did overall, despite it ending quite badly last weekend.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's good that we're kind of looking back at that already, because it would be an awful shame if 2019 was what we really tainted his era with us. You know, because he offered so much more. Irish rugby is in such a better place because he came here and he coached for the 6 years, I think it was. And, you know, that is a fact. And no matter what happened in 2019, no matter what the reasonings for us, and whether it was part of it that he just got it wrong in that time, you know, just for that year, it still doesn't change the fact that, you know, we are one of the world challengers in international rugby now. His time through Leinster brought them up, got them silverware, and then up to Ireland and championship wins, you know, series wins away from home, you know, winning on foreign soil, beating New Zealand twice, Grand Slams. You know, these are all things that were achieved in the Joe Schmidt era and need to be remembered and celebrated.
Shane, lastly, Neil Francis had a very good piece in The Independent, and the headline is Andy Farrell now facing the most difficult mission he has ever taken on, and he is now the Ireland head coach and has to get the team ready for the opening Six Nations game, which is against Scotland at the Aviva on the 1st of February. That'll come along quicker than we think, and of course the players back to their provinces and clubs now for Pro 14 and so on, but Andy Farrell, I'm sure, is now very, very quickly planning his tenure as the boss.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. See, he's a thorough professional. Rugby league background, defensively as assistant coaches, rugby league guys have been absolutely superb. They've made a huge mark all the way around the world, as has Andy himself. You know, but as head coaches, they do get challenges. There's no doubt about that. He's bringing a good team in around him, and I think, you know, there's a heavy task ahead of him, but he'll be up for the job. But I expect to see changes. I don't think the side that started against New Zealand will be anything like the side that will start against Scotland come the roll around of the Six Nations.
Yeah, because he has to pick a new captain, and of course at the end of these competitions, and there are some older players who maybe stayed for the last couple of Six Nations because the World Cup was coming, and they won't be around for the next World Cup, of course, in terms of being available to play for Ireland, so he will have to probably make some tough decisions on maybe who'll be the captain, and maybe also what players he feels can't add value to what he wants to do moving forward.
But that's the whole thing, isn't it? Is that, look, Ireland do take a bit of criticism for the fact that we're still a Six Nations oriented. We're a small rugby union. We need the money for the Six Nations to do well. And that's a concentration that the coaches are given, that they have to do well in the Six Nations. And I think we've got to get a longer term thinking in it. So come around the next World Cup in 2023, we have a squad that are ready to play for that World Cup. So if there are 50-50 choices, he should definitely pick the player who's going to be there in 2023 and state that and say that is what he has his eye on towards.
Shane, thanks, Emil. Quick update on Wales, South Africa first before half time, please, since you have a TV in front of you and I don't.
It's still 9-3. Oh no, it's 9-3 to South Africa now. Just a penalty, and there we go. There's another kick.
Lovely, very nice.
They're literally just kicking the ball one to each other.
Shane Byrne live reports from his house. Thank you, sir.
Take care, man.
We'll see you next weekend for the final. Thanks a million.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9. Only on 98 FM.